It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates, Friday Night Lights edition. That's right. If you're wondering about high school football, well, we may not have that, but this is our version of Friday Night Lights. With us right now, we have Kyle from the Grange Barber. What's up, dude?
What's going on, Dave? How are you?
Did you get a steak tonight?
I did.
I joined you that remotely. We were social distancing. I was at the Hitching Post in Williamston eating a steak while you were eating a steak at Logan's. Was it Goldsboro?
Yeah, Logan Goldsboro. Did the onion brewski sirloin. Always good.
Bubba, see, Kyle and I know what we're doing with the social distancing. We had steaks together and we didn't even know it. What's up, man?
Doing well. Just got home from Riley's baseball practice. He'll have his first player pitch tournament tomorrow, 8U, down in the upstate. It's either Fort Mill or Rock Hill. So head down there in the morning. They play at noon and also 2 o'clock.
Sweet. I know we have a really cool – we've got a fantastic show, right? I'll use that adjective for you. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we really do. Down at the bottom of the screen, you see Chandler Honeycutt. Chandler's a guy – reminds me so much of myself, and we'll get into that and as to why. But he's someone I've known since the Skip Holtz era, and diehard Pirate going into his senior year, Pirate Radio intern right now. Welcome into the show, Chandler.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Absolutely. Appreciate you very much. And certainly, for the record, we love Pirate Radio. And we love what you guys do. And I know you're behind the scenes. Talk about your time at East Carolina. And we got, by the way, Bob, we got to mention our guest, the rest of our guests. One I see is in the green room, a man that I know very, very well. He's put up with me since 1986, seven, somewhere. So he's known me a long time and he still acknowledges me. So,
Coach Cheryl Robinson. Running a little behind tonight, but waiting backstage. And like you just said, is Harold Robinson and Coach Robinson, obviously a high school coaching legend there at Williamston, and then also served in that relations role, high school relations, because he's so well connected and did such an excellent job. He did that for Coach Thompson, Coach Holtz, and then also stayed on with Coach Ruffin McNeil. But we'll talk to Coach Robinson, and I'm sure he's got a ton of excellent stories for us, and he'll be joining the program here in about 10 or 15 minutes.
No doubt about it. And we've got some more guests that are coming up. We'll keep those as a surprise. Chandler, I know that, like Bubba said, you're a great Pirate. It's got to be an honor to work at Pirate Radio and be at East Carolina. Man, you've got to be, it's like Christmas Day every day for you, right?
Oh, no doubt about it, man. I mean, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I knew exactly where I wanted to go and get my education. And that's right here at East Carolina. And growing up, going to the games, you know, as a family, we had season tickets, and you know, pregame and postgame, we listened to Pirate Radio, the Bud Light pregame tailgate, and then we listened to the fifth quarter call-in show. And so when I came in here August of 2016, I started with Pirate Radio. So this month makes 4 years, and being there is just kind of surreal. You know, listening to Clip every day, you know, and I listened to him growing up every football season, every Saturday. And he's been a great mentor to me. And I mean, truly, this has been some of the best years of my life being here in Greenville. And I really enjoy it.
And I tell you what, brother, as you can already tell, those 4 years go for some at East Carolina, 6 or 8. But 4 years goes by. 4 years goes by very, very fast. And enjoy every second of it, because then you're going to have to grow up and pay bills and that mess. Don't worry about that. We're not going to ruin your night right now. But I know that East Carolina is a big deal for you. We're going to talk too about the one thing that Kyle and Bubba and I talk about. I know you listen to the podcast and I appreciate that very much, is the fact that, there are people that actually graduated and never saw the Pirates have a winning season. And I really want to go for you to see a winning season as a student. And I'm hoping we can find some way to play this season. And I, like I've said a couple of times, you never know. This crazier things have happened. I never would have thought I'd be playing, going to work wearing a mask and in public and going out to stores and restaurants or whatever. So we might have a winning season this year. You know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's right. I mean, it's unprecedented times right now, and you know, my first 3 years here at East Carolina, we went through the Scotty Moe era, and not the best years of the program, of, you know. And so then Mike Houston comes in, and there is a little bit of hope. But I do have one more football season, hopefully, that we get to have a chance to see a – I'm looking for a 6-6, maybe 7-5 season with a bowl game. But, you know, right now it's very up for grabs. So, yes, I'm like you, Dave. I really do hope that we have a winning football season, because I got till December, so they better move quick.
Chandler, 6-6, 7-5. Can't you do math? We're only playing 10 games.
Oh, that's right. Plus, that's right.
Plus, we're on the A plus two model, Kyle.
Hey, yeah. Good catch, Kyle. Good catch.
10 games, man.
But my point is that I hope that we have a winning football season here by December, assuming that we have football this year.
We are. Unless, I think the one thing that can screw up football is when these knuckleheads like you report back to campus. And Monday, and
how do you really feel?
get around the football players, and y'all aren't being tested daily like they are. But that'll be the case anywhere, so it won't be unique to East Carolina. So I think that may be what screws up football season for everybody. I think if players wear their mask, and all you guys wear your mask in class, and nobody does anything stupid at parties,
no Corona parties.
Any of the players, I don't care what you do, Chandler. Then I think we'll have a football season. But Chandler, I wanted to ask you, do you think we should add a game or two? I personally, if we're going to play 10, I'd like to see us at least add one. If you can add an FCS opponent, I'm starting to think the FCS isn't going to play this fall. It's leaning that way. The Big Sky now has joined the CAA and some other leagues. JMU announced they will not try to play an independent schedule this year, as they had originally said. Do you think we should add a game or two, or do you think Gilbert and the administration is doing the right thing, sticking to 10?
Oh, I'm going to be honest with you, Kyle. We broke it today at Pirate Radio that James Madison is going to cancel their season this fall, but and something about a spring season of FCS. Do you know what that's about?
If 50% of FCS schools – if more than 50%, 51% of FCS schools say that they are not going to play this fall, then you can't FCS – the fall championship for FCS would not take place. You got to have at least 50% of the teams to play to have a fall – to have the FCS championship. So, in that case, then the FCS season would be canceled and they would try to play it in the spring.
All right, understood. But now going back to your question – I'm going to stick to the guns of John Gilbert, and I think we should stay at 10 games right now, just to be on the safe side. I mean, you see a lot of teams doing that right now. What is the ACC doing right now? They're doing all conference games.
10+1
non-conference game.
They're doing 11 games.
Yeah, I think I saw NC State scheduled today. It came out, and I think the only non-conference game is towards the end of the year, and I think that's Liberty. If we did something like that, I really wouldn't mind it. But right now, I think 10 games is the perfect bar to set at.
Now, what if the NCAA doesn't make – let's pretend, you know, that bowl's gone as normal. And what if the NCAA doesn't change the rule where a 5-5 team, if you play 10 right. games, qualifies for a bowl, and we're sitting there – at five or even 4-6, and you're like, damn, scheduled a game or two more, we could have went bowling.
Well, in that case, then yes, I mean, we definitely need to add that extra cushion. I think it would be like an FCS school, the Norfolk State. Who are we playing that we got canceled due to the
Norfolk State,
Norfolk State, and South Carolina.
So South Carolina, yeah, I would add like a FCS school somewhere in there. But like you said, like we mentioned a while ago, it looks like FCS is kind of going away from their football season.
The one thing that interests me is Coastal Carolina. Coastal is FBS. They need a couple games. You know, why not go down there Labor Day weekend? South Carolina's more lenient with their rules. If that Marshall game is going to be moved to the 12th, why not open up on the road at Coastal? down in Conway. It's an FBS game. And for fans,
hey, UConn.
Yeah, I mean, head down to Conway, Myrtle Beach, or, you know, well, Conway slash Myrtle Beach area and open. I agree with you, Kyle. I mean, you know, with the extension that Royal Cooper has put upon us, we I guess we cannot have football at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium in North Carolina.
We can. But we can't have fans as of right now. There's a law or a rule, a provision that allows you to have sporting events and entertainment events, and any of the participants, the officials, and the production crew, as long as it's being done for broadcast purposes, does not count towards the 25 minimum for a gathering. So as of right now, unless I'm understanding it wrong, I think we could have football today. We just wouldn't have it any more than 25 people in the stands.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And guys, you're going to have to catch me up on a lot of this regulation stuff because I still have not fully grasped it. So you'll have to catch me up on it.
You're not the only one.
It gets kind of confusing here.
It's very confusing. And technically, that language and that provision says professional sports, but I'm going to guarantee you a pretty much a stone cold guarantee. With the ACC starting play on the 12th, something's going to be allowed to take place for college football to happen.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Right.
And Bubba, we've got a very special guest, a man that means a lot to me, and he definitely knows more about the rules with high school and college than I do. That's Coach Harold Robinson. Coach, how are you?
Hey, David, can you hear me?
I can. You sound fantastic.
I really feel good, David. I really do. I've had since March has been, I've umpired a little bit and, but you know, I think everybody has to err on the side of safety. You know, in 1999, we went through the same thing with Hurricane Floyd. We were undefeated at Williamson High School.
That's right.
But we just had to err on the side of safety, and we had people inside the school for 2 weeks, and we were undefeated at the time, and we went ahead and played the rest of the year, and of course went undefeated, but we used that as a stepping stone.
Coach, if you were at East Carolina right now, or you know, even still coaching high school football, and you were able to have your teams in a so-called bubble, and you know, now starting Monday, kids are returning to campus that aren't athletes, and the student athletes are going to be exposed to kids in class and in dorms and in dining halls. What would you do as a coach to try to make sure that they realized how important it was to practice social distancing and use, you know, proper face covering, et cetera, to stay healthy even more so than the average student?
I think really and truly Mike Houston's going about it the correct way. You've got to sit down and educate your kids, just like we do our public, about, you know, the social distancing and what it can, you know, those kids, the players actually have more to lose than the regular student body.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I really think that, you know, you lose a quarterback, you could possibly lose two quarterbacks. You know, I was talking to Donnie about it. You know, you could lose the quarterback room, actually, and that's important. So I think the education that Mike's done at East Carolina, explaining the importance of just social distancing and wearing the mask, and you know, you've got more to lose than going out on a Saturday night or a Sunday night or and partying. I think the athletes have more to lose.
You definitely have to make sure, Coach, it's already tough for the players anyway, because they've got such a tight schedule. And now I heard something today where folks are saying, well, now this gives the coaches something else to worry about beyond players getting in trouble, not going to class or flunking out with academic issues or the usual stuff that you've had to deal with coach at the high school or college level. Now this is just another wrinkle, right?
It is. And, you know, there's enough to worry about. And you got to, I think you got to get your team in the team room. And you've got to be able to, I know I was there with John and Skip and Ruff with three good football coaches. And you've got to be able to convince them that they have more to lose than the average student. And you've got to get them in a team room, not on the practice field, not anywhere else, but get them in a team room and explain to them how much the university has to lose, how much they have to lose, and how much the alumni have to lose if one of them were to go out and, you know, break the team room rules, actually, and go out and go downtown as much as they want to go. I mean, gosh knows them, that's part of the college life. But they have got to understand that they have more to lose.
Bubba, did it come out today? Did I see that right? Or any of you guys that know? Did I read where Louisville kicked two players off for
three,
three players for throwing a party?
And they had something like 27 or 28 people.
29. Yeah, 29 positive.
29 people that tested positive as a result of that party or parties.
There you go. And knowing I've known Mike Houston since his high school days at Owen High School.
Wow. And
I know Mike to be the type of guy that he's not going to put up with a whole lot of that. You know, you break team rules, you're going to be a loner. I've known Mike. I know Shank. Of course, I've worked with Shank. I've worked with Donnie. I've worked with Trip Weaver. Got Trip the job that he has. And Dale Steele. Those four guys I know are not going to put up with anything. And add Mike Houston to the mix. Mike Houston is a perfect fit for East Carolina.
Well, going back to Mike Houston and how strict he is, I mean, you listen to his press conferences, and guys, you're there, you're asking questions. You can tell how strict he is with his players and the tracing and the tracking they do with their players. And first of all, while we're talking about it, how great of a job that our medical staff are doing here at East Carolina to keep these guys away from the virus.
Oh, they got the best training staff in Division I football. I know old Jake, he's the best. He's might be a little small guy, but he does as good a job. I have been in a staff meeting, honestly, when they wanted to possibly replace the athletic trainer. And Skip Holt said no. And he just left South Carolina, where they probably had, you know, multiple trainers. And old Jake is as good as they get. He does not play with the kids. He doesn't socialize with the kids. It's all business with him. And so yeah, the training staff and Mike Hanley, they've got a good thing going at East Carolina right now, and I just hate to see this go COVID. I really hate to see them interrupted. I really do, because I sat beside Donnie Kirkpatrick and picked on him for 12 years. I've known Steve Shankweiler. He recruited Williamson High School. Dale Steele recruited Williamson High School, and then came back and shared an office with me. And Tripp Weaver, he called me and called me and called me. And finally, Mike Houston called me from Brevard College, where he was there with Bobby Poss. He said, please give this guy a job. I said, he is about to drive me crazy. I called Tripp up and I said, come on over. We'll find you. We'll find you an internship job. And later on, it became a graduate assistant's job. And then when Mike got the job at Citadel, I said, Mike, it sure turned out. And Tripp's a great, he's a great addition. He's got an unbelievable amount of enthusiasm. So, you know, all those guys, you know, they're in it. They're in it not for themselves, but they're in it for the kids. And I think really and truly, this pandemic is something that the high school coaches are going to have to deal with. And I don't know what they're going to do. And I think Q Tucker has done a great job.
Yes.
With the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. And I have really, my hat's off to her. She's stepped up and led. And to be honest with you, guys, with Bubba and Kyle and David, and David, you know me better than anybody. I would love to work for the High School Athletic Association. And right now, knowing the high school coaches like I know them, I think that I could be a big help to them right now.
No doubt about it. Coach, I want to ask you a thing. It's looking, my gut feeling is, I want to ask, well, that was one of the questions I want to ask you, being that for those folks that don't know, Coach was the athletic director and the high school football coach where I went to school at Williamson High, where I'm actually a mile away from right now, Riverside High in Williamson. But, Coach, I wanted to ask you, as far as, are you in favor if they said, obviously you said something that's very important to me, safety first when it comes to the players and student athletes. Would you be in favor of a high school? I don't know how in the world you would do it, and maybe you could help me, but if they said we're going to move football to the spring, is that even possible? I mean, you look at Williamson, for example, Coach, you know that there's a lot of boys that have to play three or four sports to keep the programs to go going.
Yeah. The biggest thing, David, that you've got to worry about is you know, is the finances. As you know, and Bubba and Kyle, all three of us know, all four of us know, football is a straw that stirs the drink, and it brings in the amount of revenue, and the carry over the basketball and the Olympic sports in the spring, and that's what would concern me, if anything. Another thing that it's a recruiting standpoint. Some of these kids,
we lost them. Oh, there he goes.
They very easily could leave in January and not get to play their senior year. And, you know, that's tough on a high school coach. You count on, say, a Pernell Griffin. And then all of a sudden he leaves in December and you don't get to really have him in the spring. Right. When you get played, that's another area, that aspect that you got to think about. And how in the world are the colleges going to recruit?
Right.
You know, there's nothing like seeing body to body contact. There's nothing like it. I don't care the videos, all of that. But it's nothing like seeing them live on the hook. There's nothing like it.
And Coach, you know, you can obviously play you can put highlight films together, and now these videos, And it looks like the player is fantastic. Well, maybe they're obviously the best play they had all season or maybe one game, when the reality is they don't have the – they're not the star that you think they are. But if you see them live in person, the naked eye is a lot better than those highlight films.
Oh, the naked eye is the best. I mean, that's why they have the summer camps. And that they bring the kids in on the, in the summer, and you know, to actually see them on a Friday night. You know, you take it to Brian Hudgens in the 1999, the best football player in the state of North Carolina. Without a doubt, he had to dominate every game, and the colleges flocked down the hill. You know what I'm talking about, David.
Oh yeah, the hill.
The colleges flocked to see DeBrian and if whether or not he could dominate a game. And of course he did. And so therefore he was a highly recruited kid. But there's nothing like to see him on the hoofs.
Do you think, Coach, that they'll push the season back? You know, maybe how late do you think it could be pushed back to start it and play it in the fall? Could we start it in late September, early October, and play a shortened season? Or what do you think they will do? I mean, just speculation on your part.
I really don't know. And everything, if you know, right now everything is up in the air. And if I had the question, answer the question, I'd have the vaccine solved. But. You know, I think they can play it in September, late September. They got to get the kids time to get in really shape. And in fairness to the high school coaches, they got to get the kids a chance to get them ready and game plan. Cut the season back to maybe from 12 to 8 games. And then – or either move it back, push it forward, until January or February. And I think they could get it in then. Then what do you do with baseball? And David, you know as well as I do, baseball at Williamson was a big time sport. So what do you do with the spring sport? So, you know, I don't know about that. Financially, that's as an athletic director, that's the part that I would worry about, is the financial aspect. But you got to think about the health of the kids. That's the biggest thing, and the people that are coming in to see them play.
Right.
You know, it all works together. And Bubba, you know, you and I have talked about it, getting on this. But I tell you, what you guys are doing on the air is incredible. This is the best thing that's going right now.
Thank you,
let me ask you a question.
We really appreciate that compliment, Terry.
Have you got Josh Smith and you got Nick Johnson coming on?
We do.
Oh, yeah, we can bring him on if you want.
Josh, let me tell you a little story about Josh.
We need to bring him in.
We recruited him with John Thompson. Then Skip comes in, turns him down. He comes back to play for Skip. And he finished up his last year with Ruffin, his first year. Nick Johnson was an undersized linebacker from Charlotte, Eastern Mech. Ended up being one of the better linebackers that we had in East Carolina at the time. I stood up on the table. I said, this kid can play. And Nick will tell you that. And I told Greg Hudson, I said, Hud, you got to recruit this kid. He can play. And it turned out to be just right. And Nick And Josh will tell you both that what I'm telling you is the truth. But what you guys are doing, thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Coach. It means a lot. And I tell you, the fact that we can able to, the technology we have, I'm glad that we're still able to do shows because of COVID and everybody being in different places. So we're doing practicing social distancing and of the like, and it means a lot. It's an honor to have you on the show for all that you meant for me and a lot of folks in Williamston, several championships brought home to Williamston, a lot of trophies, my friend, in that trophy case because of you. So it means a lot. And I think, Coach, you told me this before, so I'll tell it, but how great was my class, our senior year? There was a thing at the time called the Wachovia Cup, and we finished first or second in every single sport we had.
We did, and that was probably the last good year, David, your senior class was, and it was an opportunity that, you know, I told Will, Gray, and Hope, and then nobody knows who they are but you, and they're my three kids. That was probably the best senior class that we had, and you know, if you get up with Jim Bob, get up with him. He's down in North Augusta High School right now, and
have him on.
Yeah, he'll do a good job. And don't be afraid to look ahead and see Jim Bob in the college ranks. I think he'll end up. He's probably in the mid 40s right now. But he'll end up in the
47. But he's still young. He's 47 like me, Coach. The guys on the podcast don't think I'm young, but
Grandpa Dave.
Yeah. Exactly. Instead of Grandpa Jones.
Hud, I've got your message. Hud is coaching down in Florida right now, high school. And Rick, of course, is retired like myself. I'll be happy to get Rick and myself back on the podcast if you want.
Oh, we lost him for a second. Yeah, we have Coach. Are you back with us? I think did we lose him?
Yeah,
I think we did. If we did, we'll bring him back, but. Yeah, we're trying to have on Coach Hud and Smith and H. Rob there. We'll do that. Let's bring Chandler. Man, thank you so much for coming on. It means a lot to have you on. Love to have you back soon and during the football season. Appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate all the great work you're doing at Pirate Radio. Keep up the good work. Look forward to this football season with you.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and don't be afraid to text me back, and I'll be glad to come back on the show. But before I leave, I wanted to show Josh this picture, if he could see it. That's about 2010 right there. Me, man, you, and Mikael Brooks.
It's Mikael. Yes,
that's
sir.
Mikael Brooks right there. So that's back in 2010.
Lord have mercy, dude.
Hey, I didn't mean to take you down memory lane like that, man, but I looked that up. But thanks, guys, for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, bye, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye. Chandler Honeycutt, of course, Pirate intern, ECU eventually alum. He'll be alum in December, another great, proud Pirate. And, Coach, I know you were talking about we want to have you and obviously Coach Rick Smith and Greg Hudson on. I know there's a lot of great stories that the three of you guys could talk, but also the fact that with Pirate football, I mean, three of the great minds of college football and football period on one show, I think it'll be legendary. So we'd love to have you guys on very soon together.
I tell you, I saw Steve Ballard the other day, the former chancellor at East Carolina, and I thanked him for, you know, they were the best of times, from John and to Skip, and the first year with Ruffin, and I talk to Lincoln Riley every once a month, but they were the best of times in East Carolina football, you know, back-to-back Liberty Bowls, Hawaii Bowl, you know, we had a good time, and we had a good staff and good people. And, they were the best of times. And, Dr. Battle and his wife, I see him and they've retired to Washington now. And, I see him every day. He's a great, great guy. He's super guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I'll be happy to get Rick on, and, Rick and I will join, but please give Josh and Nick my very, very best. And,
Josh. Let's add Nick on. Can we add Nick on, Bubba? We wanted to have you guys on for a few minutes, if you don't mind, Coach.
There's Nick,
yeah, and we've got Josh.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, Nick. What's up, buddy?
Good. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely wanted to have you guys on, and a guy that you know well, Coach Harold Robinson, is with it, and we wanted to have you guys on for a few minutes to reminisce about your times there at East Carolina, he being a coach and you guys being players.
Yeah, I know. You guys shot us a text over yesterday. We're like, this is late notice, but we're going to have Harold on. And I'm like, if H. Rob is on, I gotta get on there. He's the best of us from my time there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And
I love
it. Coach, I've known you.
I love me some Nick Johnson. And I tell you what, David, I'm glad he cut his hair. He had the messiest hair, but I tell you what, he was a hell of a player.
That boy's taking shots of Nick's hair.
I needed a way to stand out. I wasn't that athletic. I needed some other way to stand out.
Well, he was bragging about you that you're a great linebacker, and that did you say, Coach, that you like stood up on the table for him? Was that the story you were telling? You stood up on the table for him,
Coach Robinson? You there?
I stood up on the table for him, and I told Greg Hudson, I said, Hud, you will not be disappointed in this kid. And Greg loved Nick Johnson. Don't let him fool you. And Nick knows what I'm talking about. Greg would try to be the tough guy. He had a heart of gold. Ain't no doubt about it. And, but he loved Nick Johnson. Of all the players he coached, he loved Nick Johnson.
And Nick, when we had you on for 50 Pirates in 50 Days, you told the story about the cake, right? Wasn't that you? Yeah. I remember you were one of my favorites of all time that we've ever had. And, you know, the 50 Pirates in 50 Days happened by accident because we had a nostalgia party that Coach Robinson helped us out. And that was pretty much the thing to put us on the map July of 2 years ago. And we had so many players that we were so, like, overwhelmed in a good way that and you were one of the players that recorded the interview, and then you told that. Can you tell that story real fast again? That was legendary.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'll do it quick. So sophomore year, which would have been 2007, it was Chris Johnson's breakout year, which if you're familiar with the Skip Holtz era, we were kind of known for let's play great defense, let's tackle well, let's get off the field on third downs, get turnovers, always run to the ball. You want to knock the heads off of people. In 2007, that was not the case on defense. We were giving up a lot more points than was to be expected, but we had Chris Johnson on offense. So, right, that was his breakout year, and he just went absolutely off. He, like, no one could tackle him. He learned, I think in 2007, Chris Johnson learned how to make people miss, and then combine that with his speed, and it was just deadly. So, you know, we were playing people, and we scored 50 points, and if we were winning – they'd score 35, 40 points, which is unacceptable, right? So
right.
if we won games on Thursdays, we would have the following Thursday, we would have a cake. So on Thursdays was our helmets only practice, not quite a walkthrough, you know, just non-contact, getting ready for the game. So we come in, we get at some point during that practice, Coach Hud looks over at me and someone else while we're talking on the sideline. And he was ticked off. He was ticked off the whole year because we weren't holding people to 21 points or less. Looks over at us, like, what the hell are y'all talking about? And I'm dumbfounded. I just looked down at the ground, nothing. So he's pissed off already from the get-go. So we go in. The Crabtree brothers, who are, you know, ECU alumni, would always bring ice cream and cake. So we'd go in there, get our cake. We'd sit down to watch a highlight reel of like the last week's game and, you know, some other highlights from the previous weeks. And Khalif Mitchell, you know, who was a huge part of our defense that year, they came over from Carolina. God bless him. Got out of that place. Came over and he goes, "Roll that beautiful bean footage, coach." And Coach Hudson looked at everybody. His face turns red and smoke starts coming out of his ears. And he grabs the cake. And there's about four rows of seats in the meeting room that we're in. So it's the entire defense. He picks that cake up and two hands does a barrel throw. And the thing hits the wall. And as soon as it does, everybody just stands up and files out of the room. It was probably my most memorable moment at ECU. But
hey, Nick, do you remember the day?
Yeah, H. Rob.
Do you remember the day that Hud threw the cake against the wall?
Yep, that's what we're talking about.
We just had a whole conversation about that, H. Rob. You're hammered.
Well, so that's what I'm saying, H. Rob. It's like, as funny as the story is,
intimidate everybody. But you know, Hud called me up one day and said, "H. Rob, what's your address?" And I just gave him my address, you know. And the next thing I knew, in about an hour, he was beating on my door, and he was right down here at the river in Washington. And he put it in. We stayed all night long talking about East Carolina football, and the next day, you know, he was the greatest guy. He is the greatest guy.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point of the story. Is as funny as it is and hilarious as it is, it was just like that was the coaching staff we had, and that was the bar. You know, if you didn't perform, we're not going to give you love. And when, if you perform and you're doing what you need to do and you're being held accountable and you're doing what you need to do, they're going to treat you right. So that was one of our defining moments. And I would say our best defensive years during my time.
I tell you, Nick, somebody else that keeps up with me about once every other week is Mikey Golden. And that would and you know Mike Golden. But Mikey, oh, my God. He was a trip.
No doubt. Hey, I tell you one thing. You guys talk about that for both you guys being Josh and Nick about Coach Golden. He was definitely not friendly when it came to the weight room or beyond, right?
Oh, beyond the weight room, he was awesome.
He was nice. Yeah, I mean,
I duck hunted with him a lot. But yeah, he was crazy. I mean, H-Rod, you remember when he put them raccoons in your office? Where he switched your TV with your computer monitor and you didn't notice for 3 days because you don't do anything.
Let me tell you something. He pulled more pranks on me, him and Hud, and they parked my car in the middle of the Dowdy Fickle Stadium one day. I couldn't find it to save my life. I looked and looked and looked, and Hud said, "Well, I think it's on the 50-yard line in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium." I said, "Ain't no way in the HUD." And Mikey had moved it because HUD had asked him to. And there it was on the 50-yard line at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. My car.
Did you get a picture of that? I'd love to see that picture.
And David, if you'll give me a call one day, I'll give you Mikey's number, and he'd be tickled to death to get on the podcast.
He was very good to me when I was coach at the School for the Deaf. He was awesome, and you came and talked one year, and then Coach Holtz came. But that was great times there, being able to live. I can say I've lived both my dreams of being a coach and being a broadcaster. So, not many people can say that, but you were awesome to come speak to our athletic banquet, and so was Coach Holtz, and Coach Golden was fantastic too.
I told Skip the next year. I told him that was the best experience I'd ever had, and he wanted to do it the next year, and I really think he took his two sons. But anyway, yeah, he came back and said that was the greatest experience of his life.
Wow. That's why I tell you, Coach was fantastic, and he was a quick learner of sign language. The deaf community was very impressed with Coach Holtz because he signed a little bit, and he learned like 5-10 minutes from me. And he was a quick study and a great student, obviously, for that. And they were, and I tell you another thing, Coach, just like you, Coach Robinson and Coach Holt stayed the entire banquet and afterwards. And the community was very excited about the fact that you guys were, they thought that you were just going to come and speak and leave. And you guys stayed the entire time. Coach spent a lot of time with the students and stuff, and as did you. And so, you know, it makes you feel proud when your case, Williamston and ECU share two journeys with me. Like, I know you were a student before as well. And then when you have a coach like Coach Holtz, who I was just tickled that he was there to speak, and I thought he was going to leave, and he stayed and took pictures, signed autographs for 20 or 30 minutes after. I think it was about 2.5 hours he stayed there. It was a long time. Anyway, guys, as far as
Nick, not to get too serious here, but you talk about, you know, all the pranks that they played on Coach Elder Robinson, and just in general, you know, throwing a cake at a wall, and it sounds like the coaching staff had good camaraderie with each other. Does that carry over? I mean, if the coaching staff has good camaraderie, does that automatically just carry over to the football team?
Absolutely.
That
staff, that was probably the most fun I've ever had playing football. Everyone knew their job. Everyone came to work every day, and we did our job, and that camaraderie came from the coaches. It was also with the players. It was a whole unit feel that I don't know that if EC will have that again. I hope to God that they do. But yeah, that's whole staff, H. Rob, Vernon Hargraves, HUD. I mean, just everybody meshed so well. And then you got us, me and Nick, and the guys. Like, our defense was, I mean, my God, we didn't do anything with anybody else. Yeah. So we were all just so close.
Yeah. And Nick, when you – I was sorry, Nick. Yeah. I was just going to say, whenever you were talking about a while ago about accountability – When HUD throws that cake against the wall, you were talking about 07. How about 08 and 09? You win two conference championships. So he must have been doing something right along with you guys.
Yeah, we ate the cakes. We ate the cakes in those years.
He did throw one. Actually, remember, Nick, he did hit Khalif Mitchell in the face with a cake.
What?
He threw another cake that would have been Nick's senior year because Khalif was still playing.
Oh nine or oh eight,
and he threw another cake and it got on Khalif, and I remember just laughing. that was also the classic "fuck you, pay me" time period when Coach Hood almost tattooed that "fuck you, pay me" on his palm.
Way, Nick, that, you know. You know, Hood planned that.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, we used to do a drill called Get Right. And it was classic. It was, all right, there's a couple different things that attributed to the drill. And basically, if people didn't sprint through the line or reach down and touch the line or whatever it was, they'd call someone out and they doesn't count, do it again. And if somebody was not maybe like pulling their weight, that person was going to get singled out and everybody else was going to be held accountable because we're all doing the same drill. So it gets you as a player to be invested in everybody else's success and have them be tied into the team and to care, just like want to pull their own weight, because it's not, you know, it's like if you have a ship back in the 1800s, you know, tons of people rowing, everybody's going to be rowing together to be able to achieve, you know, optimal speed. So I feel like that's a football team, right? We had to have everybody pulling their own weight, curing things. And that's like, not to go too far down this route, that's the thing, the problem that I have with COVID, this with the size of football teams. All it takes is one person to do the wrong thing and you know, step out of line and they get sick, and then it can infect the whole team.
Yeah.
That's kind of the tough part about it. But I'm not going to go too far down that route. But when it comes to like 08, 09 and the fun they used to have with H-Rob, if you're not having fun doing what you love or doing what you're doing, you're not going to do well. 07, I didn't enjoy football that year. And I sucked. I think our defense got plain and simple. 08, 09, all the love and passion was 100% back there, and I mean, it showed. We performed. So you know, it's
you also weren't as fat then too, so that helped a little bit.
you mentioned something earlier. The F you pay me. What's that about?
So Coach Hud was very serious. I mean, this is a business. You know, we can be friends and we can do our job, but at the end of the day, fuck you, pay me. Just that simple. It's just like anything else. Well, I'm the boss. You're the employee. Fuck you. Pay me. Do your job. Come to work. And let's go home and let's have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow morning. You know, well, Hud is still the kind of guy that calls Nick and I on a regular basis when he's been drinking too much. It's hilarious.
much as well.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I just absolutely loved everything about 08, 09. I wish it had carried over in 2010. But unfortunately it didn't. You know, Ruff's whole staff did things a little bit better, and everybody knows my opinion on Brian Mitchell. He can fucking kick rocks. But you know, that is what it is.
One thing I want to touch on is, you know, you guys have had H-Rob on, and he said a couple of nice things about me and Josh before we got on, but what he's done just for the state of North Carolina, high school football, what he did for ECU while we were there, he was another coach. He was the eyes in the sky when we played every single game. Coach Hud relied on him and knew that he could rely on him, hence playing the pranks on him, because H-Rob could handle it. But what H-Rob would do in the game was literally having another coach on our staff, like what he would see the offense doing and things like that, being able to report it down to Hud on the sideline. But he was paramount. And outside of that, he's also the best person I've ever met, without a doubt. I've never met a better person than H-Rob and how he cares for everybody. He gets along with everybody. He's a Eastern North Carolina white boy, and he connects with every ethnicity and race that you can come across better than anybody else.
I will tell you, that is actually probably one of the most respectable things about H-Rob, is that I never saw a recruit or a coach that came into our facility that did not know H-Rob, that didn't give H-Rob respect for what he's done for the game of football. I mean, think about what this man has done. I mean, he's old as shit. So, I mean, guys, he's been around forever. the things that he's
done. We got a roast going on here.
Thank you. He remembers me playing high school football. Like, that's crazy. Like, who remembers? And he remembers everybody like that. There's not a single person that he doesn't remember like that, which is why we were allowed to play those games, because he could handle it, and he would joke back, and he'd love you up. H-Rob, I came into your office, what, every day and mess with you?
That's because he loved you, right?
I love you guys.
Well, you know, like you're saying, Josh, that memory and those connections, that made him perfect for that high school relations job.
So we had a player that passed away from when we played. When I go to the funeral, who's there? Sure enough, it's H-Rob. Not to say that there's a difference between walk-on scholarship, you know, whatever, where you played or not,
Josh,
played.
Josh
was a walk-on.
Josh, he was coached by the best, because he was coached by Mark Rugman.
I was, and I got a tattoo on my chest to show it.
I tell you what, I remember being coach. I came over to that coach's clinic under Holtz, and I'll never forget Coach Rock. I mean, he was just like the fact, the way that he was in that, I'll never forget that meeting room and how he was up there on the board and drawing plays. And this is what you do. And guys, this is what we want you to do as high school coaches. And he just, the energy that guy had, I just really, great guy, great coach. I really, what a tragedy to lose him so early in life and to lose him from East Carolina and the staff and everything. It was just so sad. It'll be good. I mean, anytime that happens to anyone, it's bad, but especially to that guy.
100%. I remember being at Lake Gaston at Coach Holtz's house when I found out. He told me I was actually the first player to find out. And that was some definite hard news for sure. It was a lot to take in. He told me basically that it was terminal at the time. And so it progressed really quickly, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he wrote every single person on the D-line. I've told you the guys this before, and I still have his letters. He wrote me handwritten letters, as well as every other player on D-line, before every single away game because he couldn't be there. He still came to every home game and talked to us before the home game. I mean, it's just the things that man did for college football and just me personally are things that, you know, I'll never forget.
No question. That staff that Coach Holtz, H-Rob, that Holtz had, what do you think about Coach, you guys, I guess it's kind of like a round table now with Coach Houston, the staff that Coach Houston put together, when you have Donnie Kirkpatrick, you have Steve Schenkweiler, you know, you have then with Trip Weaver, like Dale Steele, there's so many guys that were from the past, and then you have a lot of great coaches that he's brought into as well. I think that this staff, with the recruiting they've done, is big time. I think you give Coach one more year, I think the third year, but I think it's going to be a really special time under the Mike Houston era. I really do. We're taking our lumps, but if you look at the depth that we have at the different positions, for starters, he's building this thing from scratch and from the ground up, and it's going to be a really strong house. It's going to have good bones by the time we're done.
Oh, I'm yeah, completely agree with that.
And I'll comment on that. So, like, when when Scotty was hired, I was excited about the hire. But when you watch him play on the field, like turnovers, missed tackles, things like that, I thought we missed, like, lacked a little bit of toughness and discipline, which I don't say that based off like off the field things or anything like that, but just based off the fact that we didn't tackle well, we turned the ball over, and I feel like players got out of position quite often.
So, well, no, he didn't. He wasn't a fan of tackling. Stupidest thing.
Yeah, in practice, not tackling. I will say, I very much am a, you know, there's always change in everything you do, whatever industry it is, whatever sport it is, and you have to move forward with the change, but there's always going to be a set of things that remain constant. And I think we talked about this in the first time I was on here. Tackling, you know, third downs, turnovers. Those are three things that are always going to remain constant. You know, how that changes with how the game changes is going to dictate what achieves results in those three categories. But if you're not tackling in practice, you know, that you just hurt yourself. But what I see out of the players this past year, I feel like there was more determination. I feel like there was just a more excitement level of the players. And I feel like they were definitely more accountable to doing their jobs just based off a lot of things that you watch. It's kind of hard to put it all into words, but I think where we are is a good spot. And I don't know Coach Mike or Coach Houston personally. I know his journey to where he's at now. I think that says a lot about somebody. And the fact that it's, you know, all riveted through Virginia and North Carolina. I mean, bringing someone like that in to coach at ECU, Skip, you didn't fall into this category because you weren't from North Carolina, but coach at ECU and know the backstory of ECU versus the Carolinas, the NC States, or Duke, or whoever, you got to have a chip on your shoulder. And if there's anyone that has a chip on the shoulder that should have a chip on the shoulder, it's Mike Houston. So I was absolutely thrilled about the hire. I know that they beat our ass. I wasn't on the team then. But they beat our ass a couple times. So when you hire a coach that beats our ass at a school that should not be able to pull from the same group of talent that you can, I think we're in a good spot.
My favorite Mike Houston quote from year one. He was asked, you know, after about the second or third scrimmage last spring, first spring, and there wasn't no spring this year. He was asked, Coach, did you know it was going to take? Did you know it was going to? Did you know it was going to take this much work to turn around this defense? Did you know there was going to be this much? Did you know we were going to be this soft? He said, "Hell, I knew that when we came in here 2 years ago and played them."
Oh damn!
Our defense was
horrible.
Was bad, and I'm not saying that, pointing that at players, because I think it's overall, you know, it's a hierarchy. Everything beats to the top, but our defense was not. Yeah, at ECU, I feel like you need to have a strong heart at East Carolina on defense, because you're going to play some teams that may have a little bit more firepower. And to be able to shut them down, you're going to need to have a unit that's in sync, that's in gel, that believes in each other, that believes in the coaches, that's held to the highest standards. And I feel like he does that with our players. So it's going to take some time. It's not going to be going from where we were on the defense, like bottom 110 plus on the Division I level, to move back into the top, you know, top half. It's going to take a year and a half too. So. I like where we're going. Yeah, it'll take some time.
Coach, how about you? I know you were talking earlier about Coach Houston, but how long do you – you obviously are someone that's built a program at the high school level, obviously, with Williamston. What do you think about Coach Houston? I know you were talking about you've known him for a long time. How long – I know you don't have a crystal ball. How long do you think that it's going to take to turn this thing around?
Asleep.
I'll answer, since H. Rob is not efficient with technology, doesn't know what's going on.
I think H. Rob might be a few cores lights in.
It's going to take. It's going to take a couple years, and you know, I think the COVID, the pandemic is going to affect a lot of things, but it's going to take. We're going to have some patience with Mike. He's assembled a great staff, and I think I really think it's going to take a couple of years. You know, just and like Josh and Nick know, they know, and they know how long it took to get that thing turned around. And honestly, guys, we had the best of times. They were the best of times in Pirate football that we were there, and we really, really enjoyed it. It was a family, and just like Mikey Golden, Mike Golden was part of the family, and it's going to take a while to build that, and they'll get it done. And Josh, by the way, what in the world have you got on your face?
That's called a beer. They put in the office.
I understood about the tattoos, but hell, I don't understand about the hair on your face.
What do you mean? The women love it. Women love it. Nick can't grow a beard.
That is 100% the truth.
Yeah, I knew.
I still have baby fat, too.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yes.
Wow. Y'all are definitely teammates and friends, obviously.
Oh, yes.
That's the thing. All the guys we've played with, you may have friends that you've known for forever. You go in to see them after not being with them for years. Things may not, you know, it's just you go and hang out with them. And it's like, we didn't fully connect. Everybody we played with, we see them. There's no time lost. Like, we were with each other through the hardest of times, through the best of times. Nothing ever replaces that. Normal friendships don't put you through those types of like strenuous situations together. So being able to play college football together with each other is just like on another level of what you go through people with, and you just trust people. You don't care about any other than the BS. Like, you know, you can shrug off differences in opinions, differences in politics. I'm sure me and Josh don't see eye to eye on politics, No. But I don't give a shit.
Nick, you know? Nick's probably going to wear a mask as soon as he goes outside of his house, like a queer, but not me.
I've been blowing rock right now just to like, I wanted to beat the Raleigh Heat. So
hey, Josh needs to wear a mask.
He does. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Yeah. Guys, as far as defense is concerned with having a new defensive coordinator and Blake Harrell, what are your thoughts? Have you studied up on him and the new scheme? Obviously, I think we're going, is it 43 that we're going to this year?
Multiple.
Yeah, so I think any defense, honestly, the base always needs to be a 4-3. People that go to the 3-4 or the 4-4 and they've got all these special players that do special things, those are definitely down-oriented or, you know, situational things. Coach Ruff tried to do the 3-down, and it just didn't work. So I love that he's going back to a 4-3. That's what HUD ran. Hit him in the mouth, play base. If you can't play base, don't build off anything else. So it's just that simple. What you got to say?
Yeah, and the way I look at it is, a lot of decisions are all personnel based. Obviously, it was easy as shit for us to run 4-3. We had Linville and Jay Rouse. little Josh Smith to back him up. This is the third tackle. But no, it's situation based or personnel based. When you kind of boil it down, whenever you hit play and hit pause real quick on a snap, whenever you do it, a 3-4 is turned into a 4-3. Everything, there's just different ways of getting to the same end point, and that's what 3-4 is versus 4-3. So the way I see it for ECU is it's based around, like, all right, how many hogs can we get up front? How many big guys can we get up front? So getting back to recruiting, like, I know that when Scotty was here, our offense, well, even when Ruffin was here under, what's the coach? What's the offensive coordinator at OSU now?
Lincoln Riley.
Our offensive linemen didn't, like, our tackles didn't kick slide and backpedal because it was let's get the ball out quick and backpedal. Nothing against that because, I mean, he's super successful, but, like, the hell with that. Like, that's not, like, a tough way of playing football. So, like, being able to get those big guys up front that can play football, like, kick slide, that can create havoc. Like, if we can do that and get some of those players back, that 4-3 is a monster. It frees up everybody. It frees your linebackers up to run, especially with some of the guys they have now playing linebacker that are just a hell of a whole lot more athletic than I was. They can just run. I was good moving left to right, and I stopping a run play. I loved it, but you know, being able to have some guys that are 240, you know, 15 pounds heavier than I was, and can run a 4.6 40, you know, that's nice to be able to have them run free. Josh, you're laughing, but me and you ran, what, a 4.8?
Yeah, easily. Except I was 300 pounds.
Nick, you got my 277.
Well, I guess, no, your senior year I was 275. So
what, Kyle, what was that, Kyle?
Nick, to go by what you just said a minute ago, did you just refer to Lincoln Riley as the offensive coordinator at OSU?
No, I was when he was at ECU as the offensive coordinator.
Okay, I thought you said yeah.
Did you have some shots there, Kyle?
I'm not taking shots at a guy.
So he's been drinking whiskey and wine.
That was what he had to do at ECU.
Yeah,
so
it's
a personnel situation because to be able to get the guys that you want on the offensive line that NC State gets, the SEC recruits heavily in North Carolina, UNC, you know, it was harder for us to get those. But during the Holtz era, some of the guys we had on the offensive line were players. The guys could flat out play and they were big.
Yeah, I don't think we had those guys. It's you guys probably appreciate this a lot. He's recruiting the defensive line hard. I mean, I think we're bringing in, oh my God. How many new players do we have on the D line this year between grad transfers, junior college players, and
like nine or 11, somewhere?
That's a lot. I thought it was eight. So there's nine now or 10.
That's a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah, you've got to have competition there because here's the good thing about defensive linemen. They're athletic enough, like Willie Smith, that when they suck it in, move them to tackle.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard. Like, if they're not very good on defense, just put them on offense where they don't have to be as good, and they just back up from people.
So.
Wow. What do you think about that, Bubba, being a former quarterback? What do you think about it?
Are you all right? You ain't said nothing.
Hey, no, I'm good. No Willie Smith, like Josh said, he made that transition, and he got a shot in the NFL as a result. And then same thing, we talked to Robert Jones, who started his career on the defensive line and transitioned to the offensive line very successfully and got a shot with the Panthers. So,
Yeah, they make those moves for the teams. You know, it's not all about themselves. They do it for the team, and it pays off. So when everyone buys in and trusts the system and buys into the system, everyone benefits from it.
I mean, you guys got to think, hell, I was 255 pounds playing linebacker, and Linville Joseph decided to say something stupid to Coach Rock, and I became a 255-pound defensive tackle.
You would have been a terrible linebacker.
Huh?
I said you would have been a terrible linebacker.
Shut up, Nick.
But
we're going to get Coach H-Rob to be the referee right now.
I said the guards and the centers couldn't touch Josh. It was ridiculous. That was my thing playing football. Lower man always wins. Have good footwork when it comes to tackling. Same foot, same shoulder, and you're going to knock people's heads back. You're going to see that snap neck all the time, and stay low. Low man wins, and that was Josh Smith. Low man wins. He just gets straight through there, and you're like, how the hell are you doing this, Josh? You little white guy playing defensive tackle. What are you
doing? I was skinny sideways.
Hey, Coach. As far as the defense is concerned, too, with we're talking about Coach Blake Harrell. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored on the offense. So, with you guys watching as former defensive players, and Coach, you obviously have coached for many, many years. If we can put up 30, 40 points a game, we might have a shot at winning these more games than what people. Maybe we can sneak up and steal a couple games this year that we shouldn't win.
Pregnant
pause.
Harold, you there?
Coach Robinson, did the stealing fan put you to sleep?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, no, I'm not asleep. I'm not. This is not Mikey Golden. Assholes.
They were wondering.
I tell you what, the defense the guys played behind. You take J. Wilson, Linville Joseph, and Scotty
Robinson.
You take those guys; they were the best. They were the best, and you can put anybody behind them, including Josh, and he could go in and play. And
I had to play all the. I had to play. There was but me, H. Rob.
It was me, myself, and I. Right.
That was a lot. Dude,
I was the only backup for four positions.
That game against West Virginia was the most dominating game I've ever seen played at East Carolina, bar none. But anyway, that was a good football. I can't hardly hear you guys because we've got lightning and thundering down here, but I am hearing the H-Rob.
All right. Well, Coach, if you want to go, we can, and we'll have you back on in a few weeks with hopefully we get you and Coach Hudd and Rick Smith on, Coach Smith, and we can huddle up and talk some Pirate football. How about that?
I'll get Mike Golden on too.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Absolutely. Love to have him on.
I'm gonna listen to that one.
Hey, all you need is Mikey Golden. He can tell you all the stories about Nick Johnson and Josh Smith that you ever want to hear.
He hated me.
And they know that's the truth. And they know it's the truth.
He hated me at first.
Before we let you go, he was question that folks are dying to know the answer to.
Love
those
you
raccoons.
Guys. I love you guys more than anything in this world, except my wife. And I love you guys. And call me anytime if you need me.
We love all right,
Coach Robinson, I have a question for you before you go. The folks are dying to know, when those raccoons were in your office, how much damage do they do?
How much
damage did those raccoons do, Coach?
Well, I have water under my house and all, but it's lightning and thundering down here now. And we had lost a pier, but other than that, our house was okay. And so anyway, Josh, I'm sorry about your granddad. Give your mother and daddy my best. And Nick, the same thing to your father and mother. And I love you guys. Love you.
I love you more,
H-Rob. I love you, George. Everything for us and everybody else in North Carolina coming out of high school and ECU is larger than anything that we've ever done. So
appreciate you, Coach, very much. We'll get you on again, and stay safe there in Washington, all right?
Don't go outside, H-Rob. I love you.
Okay. Good talk.
Did Coach?
I love him. God knows.
Did Coach already take his pill? I mean, it's
he took an Ambien. He was fighting it.
What he said? He said, "I have one under the house."
And it's thunder and lightning, but the neighbor lost their peer.
What's under the damn house? A raccoon.
The beat of his own drum, he only hears that sound, and that's it.
Did he confess to a murder? Is there a body under his house? I know, I'm sure you guys are more familiar than me, but I know I've seen Coach Harold at Professor O'Cool is drinking a couple of Coors Light, so I don't know if that's contributing to the
It's definitely probably contributing to it.
Yeah. If you coach football, you got to drink a lot.
You're drunk. You got to drink a lot. Actually, Huddle tell you that.
We got to get, guys, we're hoping we could get Coach Holtz on at some point, too, to reminisce about his time. Oh, so God. We'll definitely bring you. Yeah, I've heard some stories from our good friend Brian Medor. You know, they were supposed to be doing a coach's show, and Coach forgot. It was one of the big wins. Maybe in 08 or 09.
It was after the West Virginia win, I believe.
Yeah, it was the West Virginia game. That's right. In 08. And they had to go to Coach Holtz's house, and there was a big party there.
Yes.
So they did the coaches with Jeff Charles and Coach Holtz did the coach's show there at Skip Holtz's house. I thought it was legendary. It was epic.
Oh, I'm sure it was, because there was they partied. They partied hard,
and they partied there after every win. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. Their staff. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you those guys. Not only were they best friends as staff, but like they were best friends off the field. They were. Oh, I can't say enough good stuff about the team we were on. I mean, it's just I hope for the kids that are there now that they get to experience that at some point. Because it's few and far between, and I really hope for their sake that they get to experience winning, and they get to experience camaraderie, and a successful program, and coaches that care, and you know all that good stuff. You know, that's all you can hope for those kids is a great experience in college, and I think Mike Houston will give that to them.
That's the wisest thing Josh Smith has ever said.
Oh, shut up.
I think we can be quiet like Bubba Rosenbaum. We just be quiet, Kyle, and the two of them can host the show. We can take a nap and come back.
So he had to call me before this to ask me what the hell we're going to talk about. And I was like, we're just going to make fun of H-Rob and talk about football and shit. It'll be fine.
I was like, Josh, I can't remember hardly any stories. And it's probably so this is funny. So I have a son. So maybe we're hoping, he becomes a stud and is an easy football player, right? So his name is George Johnson. All right, 15 months old. He's tall as hell. My wife's like 5'11". I'm 6'2". So he's tall as shit already. So
those rumors that Josh was trying to spread earlier about you being queer are not true.
No, they are not. If he was, he'd be here trying to sit on the video with me. You know how Josh swings.
That'd be shirtless.
So George, if he doesn't get his way, he bangs his will lean over and bang his head on the floor. Same thing with me. When I started playing football at five, whenever I would tackle, I would put my head straight down and just go with it. Like, I always wanted to put my head down to try to like deliver the most forceful blow. Don't make any queer jokes, Josh, to somebody that I could to try to not inflict injury, but to inflict pain. And he does the same thing. He's just like, he's always like swinging his head around. It's the exact same way that I was. And I'm like, I'm hopeful that this turns out to be the exact same way that I was. And George, maybe a little bit faster, a little bit stronger than I was, and have a little bit stronger shoulders. And
hopefully he gets his mom's genes in.
Yeah, we'll see. As long as he's got this brain, Josh, this
That's
brain.
Very true. Very true, sir. Because he might have ran a 4.8, but he was 4.4 on quickness up here.
He knew football. He knew what he liked. Yeah. If you don't like something, you're not going to buy into it. Football and, like, the guys that we played with loved it. Like, Jeremy, I'm going to give a shout-out to my guy Jeremy Chambliss because that's my brother. Absolutely love him.
That is, y'all are absolutely brothers, 100%.
Yeah, we are brothers from another mother. Like it was so funny playing with him. If something happened, he could fill my role, and I could just switch over to fill his role, and it happened, without dialogue. It just naturally would happen, and that's how. Just based on what Josh was saying earlier about how he hopes that the team now gets to experience, what we got to. That's kind of where we were, like. Where we were as a team and what we got to do as a team and how much we all bought into the program and everything. Like, everybody loved each other. Not to say we didn't have our own turmoil or things to arise, but, like, nothing was ever bigger than the team. We handled everything internally. Nobody – when you have 100-plus people, no one's ever going to all just gel with everybody. That's right. Not going to happen. So, like – When I talk to HUD, he's like, my years at ECU were the best years I ever had. They were the funnest years. And just like when I go back to everything, like what I was saying earlier, fun. Fun is at the heart of everything. If you're not having fun, you're not going to do well. So it's just like, fun is not the only thing. Being able to do everything together that makes everything fun turns into success. And I hope that what they have now is discipline, hard times, but the great times, and the great times and the hard times don't subtract from each other. They combine into each other and make a team up here rather than units right here.
No question.
Coming up the season at some point, probably going to be moved to September 12th against the Marshall Thundering Herd. Obviously, when you guys were here, that was a big conference game, a lot of wars against Marshall. How do you guys like seeing Marshall back on the schedule?
Classic game because just the things that have happened with them. But Marshall is always a fun game. Marshall's a great school. Marshall has great tradition for football. They reminded me. I remember playing them. I guess it was my junior year. And at Marshall, and they were just like us. They literally had fun. They were doing stupid stuff. I remember singing a song like while we were winning. So I was literally at nose guard and I started singing some stupid song and the center started singing it back to me and completely threw me off. And I was like, wow. Like, so I just kind of like stood there. Like when I snapped the ball, I was like, that's interesting. Then I remember like, oh shit, we got to move.
That's how they were. And they were probably the funnest rival that we had because in the Eastern Conference, like Southern Miss, Marshall, UCF, I'm going to say those main three, not to neglect like anyone else. Who else would it have been? UAB.
Why the fuck do we want to play them?
But those three were always the funnest games, especially Southern Miss. They were all so competitive. But the games with Marshall, just like Josh kind of said, like I can remember the tight end that I played. It was just like always just like fun. You always try to throw jabs at people and talk as much shit as you can to other people, and you try to do it in specific ways. And I think that we obviously, I think everybody knows that we talked the most shit because on a, as a defense, we got the most flags thrown against us that were not actual penalties because the referees hated how difficult we would make the games. But those three teams, and especially Marshall, I think Marshall was my favorite team to play against in conference just because it was so fun competitively. And on the Eastern side in Conference USA, those teams would run a balanced offense. They'd run the ball. They'd throw the ball. They didn't just try to, you know, draw up these things on a whiteboard and say, this is going to win a game like Tulsa used to do or even Houston. You know, it was we're going to play football. Best team's going to win. So, you know, when we would play those teams, it was the most enjoyable as a player to play against them.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. The teams that the other teams that were successful and were good and had strong programs were the best teams to play against. They just bar none. I mean, it was the same as we were talking about. They had a similar dynamic to what we had. As soon as you start seeing players fight on the field, we never did that. I can't even imagine. We would bitch at each other, but there was no like fighting on the field amongst players. It was never. Go ahead and try that and see how fast your ass gets ripped off the sidelines and, you know, sat on the bench for a minute. But as much as I would love to keep talking, I have got a gorgeous woman naked in that bed right there. So I'm going to get off of here.
All right, Josh. I don't blame you,
man. Right, yeah.
Have at it.
So fun, man. I love you guys. I love you, Nick. Please, let's get Chambliss, and I'll come. You know I love you guys. So I'll come on whenever you need me to.
All right. Awesome, man. Thank you so much. We enjoyed it.
Nick, when you get back, let's have a beer. I love you.
All right, we'll do, brother.
Later, guys.
All right, Josh.
All right, see you, Josh.
And yeah, with him logging out, it probably almost ends this. But if you guys have anything, you know, that you guys want to talk about specifically, I've got a few more minutes.
Well, just the very fact of we're talking about the schedule this year, and with the one thing that comes to mind.
Be careful throwing that out to Dave, Nick. He'll keep you up here all night.
No, I won't. I'm ready to wrap it up too. I was going to do an hour and a half, so we're at that point, just a few minutes. So he's right on the money. As far as this season is concerned, one thing that comes to mind, guys, is that something we've talked about, Kyle and Bubba, is the very fact of, and we'll put you in there, Nick, is the very fact, if you move the game back to September 12th, like the Marshall game, and you have October 24th, with that Thursday night game against UCF, I think that's,
September 24th.
I meant September 24th, yeah. September 24th, you have a 12-day period there. That's more manageable than having almost a month, like 25 days or something. I think it makes more sense if you're only going to have 10 games, push it back to September 12th. And we're getting rocked here by lightning if you wonder why I'm, like, struggling here too. But like Coach H-Rob is definitely giving us a hard time now with the lightning is like had like two big crashes here in the last minute, but
in the LaGrange Goldsboro area, we probably picked up 4 inches of rain this evening, so it's out there.
Yeah, no doubt. But Nick, I wanted to ask you as a player. The reason I brought that up is the very fact: how difficult would that be if you? I can't imagine going a month without playing a game.
So that all comes to the same thing, or when it comes down to being bought into the program, bought into what the coaching staff is telling you, the coaching staff is going to get together. They're going to say, this is what we have to overcome. This is what we need to do. Let's tell the players this. If you have a team that's not bought into the program, they're not going to buy into the plan that you sell them, right? So I think that – but, yeah, to get to your point, it's tough. You know, it's tough. And especially playing in front of people when you're playing in – stands when they're not full of people. I can tell you that I think it was 2009 when we played at Carolina and we lost to them when I think CJ Wilson got blocked in the back and fell into the quarterback and they called a roughing the quarterback penalty. That was one of the hardest places I've ever had to play because it was the most dull and boring stadium I've ever played in, and I did not enjoy playing UNC because it was boring. When we played UNC at ECU, it was fun. Play UNC at UNC. It was hard to buy into it. So, you know, the whole COVID thing just presents a whole nother challenge in terms of, you know, stadiums being half packed. When I got there my freshman year against West, so when I got there my freshman year, I was supposed to redshirt. So the first game, I believe, was Navy, potentially, at Navy, didn't travel. The second game, I picked up the defense very quickly, and I think they were like, all right, you can help us out. Because Fred Wilson came in at the same time, Orlando Ferro, and they were JUCO transfers. The second game, I traveled to UAB but didn't play. The third game was West Virginia at home.
And third game was Memphis at home.
What did you say, Kyle?
I believe the third game was Memphis at home.
That in 2006?
Yep.
Okay, and West Virginia would have been the game after?
Yes, that sounds right. It would have been pretty soon.
So told you, I can't remember much. That's what I was saying about my son. It was like beating my head up against everything with the way I played football. I can't remember a lot, but that was the loudest game I've ever played, bar none. Virginia Tech, when we played there, you know, after the shooting and everything in 2007, I think that was,
yeah,
2007.
That was awesome.
It's a loud place to play. It's an exciting place to play. When we played at ECU in 2006 against West Virginia, it was the loudest. I couldn't hear anything. I was a freshman. I was just like, what's going on? And they threw me into the game, and I ended up having a good game. We didn't win the game, but, you know, it was, we played them tight, which I think was a defining moment from where we were in 2005 and even before the whole era in 2004 to where we were in 2006. And then that kind of showed up 2 years later when we beat them up.
Yep.
No question about it. Well, Nick, man, I appreciate you coming on. The few minutes you wanted are up. So definitely want to, you guys are awesome. We're going to have you back. It's a lot of fun. We had the Friday Night Lights here, and tonight we had a good time, and you guys are awesome. It feels like we were part of the team, even though we're not, but like locker room talk we had here tonight, but thanks, man. Appreciate you very much, and enjoy your weekend. We'll get you back on soon.
Yeah, I appreciate you you having us on here, because what you guys do is for East Carolina, and our heart is tied to East Carolina. So anytime you guys want to have us on, I'll devote as much time, as much attention as I can to it, because that's where my heart lies. So I appreciate you guys having us on.
No doubt. Thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Nick Johnson there, as we have a great night here. Definitely the Kyle Barber Unleashed part of our podcast, the Sports Objective Unleashed tonight, a Friday night edition.
Well, it's Josh Graham Unleashed.
Josh Smith, yeah.
Not Graham. Oh, my God. No. Not Kid Rock, Josh. Josh Smith.
Kyle Barber, you can kick rocks.
He's always going to be unleashed. He says what he wants, unedited, and we're a little similar there. Though I do try to keep it in check when we're on there.
Yeah, you do. We need to tape our pre-show meetings and just when we're talking meetings, and that would be legendary. Well, before we go, I want to remind fans, we have 50 Pirates in 50 days. So we got some more we'll release there. The podcast, you can always find those on, SoundCloud and Anchor. You can find our podcast anywhere, including you can find it, obviously, Facebook Live and our YouTube channel. And we've got a whole bunch of games up there, Kyle. We're hopefully going to add some more football games for ECU, from literally the Tangerine Bowl in the 60s to the present up until 2019. So, and hopefully we can add more games this year from 2020. So, if you're looking for that, we have a playlist of a lot of different games. What is it, about 200 games, Kyle?
I think it's around 115.
115? Okay.
And there's a playlist of coaches' shows from Bill Lewis all the way up through Coach Houston.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So, for Bubba Rosenbaum, Kyle, appreciate you, buddy, very much. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you very soon as well. You've been watching, listen to the unofficial podcast of the Pirates, the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.